Environmental writer Alana Mitchell traveled to the global ocean's hotspots to see firsthand what is happening to the marine ecosystems. She chronicles her journeys in a new book, Seasick, which earned the 2010 Grantham Prize for Excellence in Reporting on the Environment. While she found that the health of the ocean has been damaged by human activities, Mitchell believes there is still hope for its restoration. It was a simple conversation that ignited Alana Mitchell's curiosity about the world's oceans.
I was on a boat in the Galapagos with the great American marine biologist Sylvia Earle, and I couldn't figure out why she was interested in the ocean, you know, so I asked her. I said, "Why are you interested in the ocean?" And she said, "Well, my dear, it's because that's where the life is."
Most of the Earth's oxygen is produced in the sea by single-celled organisms called phytoplankton. In addition, our climate is regulated by the ocean's currents, winds, and water cycle activity. Yet, Mitchell notes, human activity is altering everything about the world's oceans: their temperature, salinity, acidity, ice cover, volume, circulation, and the life within them. To investigate the state of the world's oceans, Mitchell embarked on a global quest.
I did 13 journeys in 2.5 years to different parts of this big interconnected system that they call the global ocean. So I was in a whole bunch of different parts of it, a lot on ships with scientists trying to figure out what they are learning, because they are the ones who are, the doctors of the ocean.
In her new book, Seasick, Ocean Change and the Extinction of Life on Earth, Mitchell takes her readers to one of the world's nearly 500 dead zones in the Gulf of Mexico.
Dead zone means that there's little or no oxygen in the water across an area as big as New Jersey. So it's a huge, huge swath of the ocean that should be alive. And it's all happening because of the fertilizers that farmers up and down the Mississippi River are putting on their crops, and it's washing into the river and, you know, washing down the Mississippi and going off like a faucet into the Gulf of Mexico and creating this dead zone.
Fed by nutrients from the fertilizer, phytoplankton grows and multiplies out of control. In addition to oxygen, they produce organic matter, which sinks to the sea floor. There, it's broken down by bacteria, which use up oxygen that fish and bottom-dwelling creatures need to survive. And they give off carbon dioxide. That CO2, Mitchell says, and carbon dioxide from the air, is changing the ocean's chemistry.
We are making the oceans acidic. We're doing that by putting carbon dioxide gas into the atmosphere when we burn fossil fuels. And that some of that carbon dioxide is then absorbed into the ocean and makes carbonic acid.
Increased acidity, along with other forms of pollution and climate change, are killing coral reefs, which support a diverse marine ecosystem. Australia is home to the Great Barrier Reef, the world's largest reef system, protected as a World Heritage Site since 1981. But a declaration from the United Nations can't stop pollution from washing into the Coral Sea. In Seasick, Mitchell explains how the Australian and Queensland governments have brought together people and projects to help improve the quality of water around the reef. She says that effort clearly demonstrates that the solution must come through a global commitment to improve and protect the ocean.
The problem is that you can have national policies to deal with oceans like they do in Australia. For example, I was on the Great Barrier Reef, which is the biggest coral reef in the world. And you can have all sorts of really good, strong policies to protect a reef like that, but it's the global problems that are going to eventually kill that reef if we don't do anything. So the Great Barrier Reef and all the other coral reefs in the world will be dead, extinct, within as little as 20 years unless we change some of our practices as a human species.
Mitchell also visited the Indian Ocean island of Zanzibar, where a local solution has been developed to try to deal with the global problem.
Their people are almost fully dependent on fish for their protein, like as they are in many other parts of the world. And they're having more and more trouble finding fish. So this is a project set up by a Zanzibari scientist to try to help the women who live on Zanzibar grow little shellfish so that they can either sell them or eat them. You know, maybe this is where the future will be. We'll have fisheries that are much more homegrown than these big commercial industrialized fisheries that are harming the populations of fish in the ocean.
Seasick author Alana Mitchell says local initiatives like these, and growing support for more sustainable and environmentally friendly forms of energy give her hope that there is a way to halt and even reverse the damage we've done to the global ocean. For Faiza El-Masri, I'm Faith Lapidus, VOA News, Washington.